Ring Talk Live Worldwide is brought to you by the World Boxing Council, the WBC.
You ask me how well did he fight, I don't know, but I can tell you one thing, he punched good.
Celebrating the career, the life of Joe Frazier. Of course, 1964 Olympic gold medalist, Smoking Joe Frazier, coming to us out of Philadelphia. I mean, every time I was around him, it was always an adventure. Sometimes good, sometimes bad. But, you know, you look at his career, I mean, man, it was like he only lost a few fights. He lost to George Foreman. He lost to Muhammad Ali. There's no disgrace in that, right? But, as I said, a 64 Olympic gold medalist, of course, sprung to fame, beating guys like Jerry Corey and the guy, you know, on his way to the WBA crown the first time around, and Buster Mathis, and running through people like, you know, a lot of A and B guys, until he ran into, of course, the fight of the year, March 8th, 1971, Muhammad Ali and Joe Frazier hooking it up at the Garden. Of course, the fight was sold out in well in advance. I mean, they probably could have sold that fight out seven or eight times. The world came to a complete halt. There was no doubt about it, but we will go into depth on Joe Frazier in hour number two. Some boxing news we want to get to, of course. Josh Taylor and Jose Ramirez are going to hook it up at 144 pounds. Taylor, of course, the former amateur standout from the UK, now 17 and zip with 13 whacks, has been inactive. Only had one round of boxing since Regis Progress, of course, that big win over Progress, the guy from Texas in 2019. That was an upset, but he's taking on Jose Ramirez. I think he comes to us from Fresno, California, Bakersfield down there, Raisin Town, I call it. 26 and zip, 17 KOs. He is the WBC and WBO titleist. Of course, Taylor being the IBF titleist. This is a unification match. This should rock and roll. It's going to go March 22nd. Take that back. May 22nd, and it will rock, I believe, on ESPN. So ESPN's putting together some good fights, no doubt about that. You are tuned to the longest-running fight show in history, Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Of course, the HBO Godfather. We'll be waiting to get Larry on the phone in just a minute. Of course, the retired HBO Godfather turned 90 years old. He had his vaccine, both vaccines. I had one of my vaccines. Of course, I'll go back for the second one, March 31st. So I'm feeling pretty good about that. And I encourage anybody out there to not defy science and to go with the vaccine. If you get a chance to get the vaccine, get the vaccine, because I got it. I didn't feel any side effects. A day or so later, I felt a little sore as far as my muscles were concerned. But, you know, I run around four miles a day. I wish I could run five, but I run 4 miles a day. So that being said, I was probably sore from a lot of the running. But I got to tell you like this, at the end of the day, get the vaccine. Let's take it to L.A. Of course, the City of Angels are bringing the retired HBO Godfather, Mr. Larry Merchant. How are you this morning, sir?
Well, I was terrific until I just heard you squashing someone because apparently they wouldn't take the vaccine.
Well, I'm not slashing anyone for not taking the vaccine. I just, listen, I took the polio vaccine. I took the measles vaccine.
And I didn't suffer
any residual effects from either vaccine. And that was like 50 years ago. I don't want to tell. Yeah, it was 50 years ago, more than 50 years ago. So if science was sort of cool 50 years ago, I'm going to go with science 50 years later because I think they're more on top of things. But 50 years ago, I mean, we were talking, we didn't have VHS tapes 50 years ago.
You know, well, a lot of things have changed. And I guess among them is the fact that we've been so successful in squelching these things that people believe that you only have some ulterior motive if you're trying to help them get through it.
Mm. That's a good way to put it, Godfather. You know, Joe Frazier, the fight's going to be the anniversary, the 8th of March, of course, 50 years. Joe Frazier and Muhammad Ali, Joe beating Muhammad that night, of course, on a 15-round decision, hurting him badly in the 12th round, knocking him down in the 15th round. Why is it Joe Frazier sort of doesn't get the just due that he does, that he should? I mean, I don't think he does. I think historians look back and say he was sort of like a footnote in boxing history, maybe because Muhammad Ali went off and was denied the championship and went off and had to go into exile for 3.5 years. Talk to me about that.
Well, I knew Joe pretty well, of course, from Philadelphia, where he moved to become a prize fighter
mm-hmm.
when he was a young guy. And he was, as solid as the dirt on the farm he was raised. And he knew that if you put in your time, you would have a good crop. Ali is a once-in-a-lifetime personality who transcended whatever discipline he happened to be in, which was sports, which was boxing. And those kind of guys just don't come along very often. And so, and the fact that Ali did come back and beat him twice, and that Ali was a truly larger-than-life figure. So you add all that together, and all of the things going on in his time, I'm talking about the anti-war movement and the pro-women's movement.
Civil rights.
Civil rights movement, and so on and so forth. And Ali was out front. And that wasn't Joe's style. Joe had a different style in the ring and a different style out of the ring.
Was there ever a stronger man as far as his mental will for that? I've never seen a stronger guy with a mental will in it than he had for the first fight with Ali ever. And I've watched a lot of fights, and I've never seen anybody bring it like that.
Well, Pedro, I was sitting front row ringside. I've never before or since seen someone endure what Joe Frazier did on that night.
Mm-hmm.
3 years later, before their rematch, a friend of mine from the New York Post and I went back and reviewed the fight on a punch-by-punch basis,
mm-hmm.
Which was long before that officially became a thing. And we found that Ali had landed roughly twice as many punches, maybe not as many showy punches, but clean punches. I've never seen a man make such an effort at anything that Joe made that night. And it's not widely remembered, but he spent more than a week in a hospital just recovering from his effort and the punishment he took. And Joe is probably never the same again.
Mm-hmm.
And Ali did rip him decisively in two more occasions. So Ali was this personality who transcended oceans and mountain ranges and was a worldwide figure because he was such an extraordinary showman, and because his mind was in a place where a lot of people's minds were back in those days, and he was willing to stand up and represent himself as well as many others. So it's just, Joe was a fighter. Muhammad Ali was a lot more than a fighter.
Good point. Larry Merchant on Ring Talk Live Worldwide.
Now, more of Ring Talk with Pedro Fernandez.
He certainly knows how to shake things up.
Wow! I feel good.
Larry Merchant's our guest, of course, the retired HBO Godfather on the line from the City of Angels. Larry, was that one of the greatest calls of all time there?
Well, I don't rate great calls. I think it was a real good, spontaneous call by Howard Cosell, and it expressed the shock of seeing the heavyweight champion get demolished that way. So it was a really good call. One of my favorite calls ever is by Jim Lampley.
You're stealing my line.
and after the
Tyson Douglas, after the
Tyson Douglas fight, what did Jim say?
Mike Tyson has been knocked out.
That is correct, sir.
I mean, that was...
You could not say it any better, any more economically, to any more shock. People in Tokyo thought the wrong guy was Godzilla, and it was a brilliant call. It didn't need any amplification. Mike Tyson has been knocked out.
Yeah, that was an epic call, no doubt about that. You know, when you look back at all the years at HBO, that probably was the most earth-shaking moment as far as boxing was concerned. Oh, the Tyson knockout?
I would have to say so, yes.
I mean, I can't think of... Can you come up with a number two?
Well, look, nobody will ever find a better fight for me than Hagler and Hearns. It was 2 minutes into the third round is as far as it went. And they both tested each other like scientists. And it was an amazing and shocking. And also, those things we least expect grab us deepest. And certainly nobody expected that after the give and take of the first two rounds that Hagler would just walk through Hearns.
Boxing is a theater of the unexpected. I remember your late broadcast partner, Harold Lederman, his favorite fight, it was one hell of one, Wilfredo Gomez and Lupe Pintor. I think they went 14 rounds, and Pintor finally said, you know what, I sort of had enough. But that was, I think that was, he said that was the greatest fight he scored. I don't think it was with HBO. I think he scored that professionally as a judge.
No, that was with HBO.
Was that HBO?
I think we did it in New Orleans.
Yes, in New Orleans.
And the amazing thing about it was it came about, it was the next fight we had maybe 2 weeks later, maybe just 1 week, I'm not sure, to the great fight between Aaron Pryor and
Alexis?
And Alexis Aguayo. I mean, that was an unbeatable, unmatchable match.
You know, Larry, I knew both guys, and when Arguello went crazy on crack, I tried to go down there to Nicaragua and drag him out of there and bring him back to San Francisco for rehab, all that kind of stuff. But I think that the evidence points that to them messing with the gloves and the wraps before the Arguello fight. I'm talking about the prior team, and what I mean by that is, you know, it was just a few months later that Panama Lewis was caught for wrapping a hand first with a little hand wrap. Then he would wrap it with plaster of Paris wrap. Then he would wrap it some more with some hand wrap. Then he would have the commission inspect the hand, and they inspect the hand. Then he would spray the hand with water and make the cast get hard. So that was that. And then he took stuffing out of the gloves because the gloves disappeared from the ring right away. As soon as they took them off Pryor's hands, they have never been seen again. And of course, Panama Lewis took the padding out of the gloves for sure, again with Luis Resto and the kid from Oklahoma.
Well, I'm sure that there have been many blasphemies done to gloves, overtime if you had the nerve to do it. And unfortunately, Panama Lewis did.
May he not rest in peace. You know, I will say this. When they had the horsehair gloves, when I used to fight with the horsehair gloves, they use rubber now, padding. But when they used to the horsehair gloves, my trainers would sit there and put the gloves on my hand, and they would rub on the gloves and rub on the gloves for 10 minutes to try to rub the padding away from the knuckles. So, I mean, we did stuff like that, but we didn't take the padding out of the gloves. It never went that far. But, oh, what can I say? But, you know, as far as Alexis was concerned, That you know, he wasn't the most secure guy in the entire world. And personally, he just wasn't the most secure guy outside of the ring. But that destroyed him mentally, and he was never, ever, ever the same again. I mean, he became.
Well, I have to recall, it was on the. It was toward the end of his career.
Yeah.
And Aaron Pryor was the young gun mm-hmm. in there, and I don't know what was stoking Pryor's fire, but I know that one argument he had with boxing is that he couldn't get Sugar Ray Leonard into the ring with him.
Well, that's a story for another day. I thought they were in different weight classes, but he used to chase Ray Leonard around the press conferences. But, you know, I did find out what Panama Lewis had in that special bottle. That little special bottle he had.
Right, so did I.
All right. So what do you think was in the bottle?
Well, I heard it was arsenic and orange juice.
Arsenic? I heard it was asthma pills, crushed up asthma pills, and can't think of the other.
I think it was not actually arsenic. It was more. Let me recall. I heard about it many years after the fight, and I guess I've forgotten. But something maybe like cocaine.
Yeah. Well, he crushed up asthma. In other words, if you had an asthma attack, you would take this pill, and it would like increase your oxygen flow and this and that. So what he did was he crushed them up and mixed them with peppermint schnapps. That's what I was told. He mixed them with peppermint schnapps. It was a combination of schnapps and those asthma pills. And what they did was they opened up his lungs, and he was able to breathe a little bit better. Because, you know, he got off that stool remarkably in well conditioned, considering he took that punch in that 13th round. Wow.
Yeah. Well.
Cheating.
It was a hell of a fight. And sometimes the worst deeds lead to the best fights.
Good point there. It looks like we're going to have some 440-pound unification. Josh Taylor, the kid from across the pond, 17 and zip with 13 kills. I think he was an Olympian for Scotland. The IBF title holder, going to take on Jose Ramirez, a WBC and WBO high title holder, 26-0, 17 wax. These guys are going to hook it up. I think they realize that time is sliding by, and, you know, some of these guys want to stick around and wait for the big paydays. Godfather, I think guys need to fight. They need activity.
Well, you know, aside from the fact that a number of champions or championships which come and go quickly, mm-hmm. Which means that their peak earnings come and go quickly, and the pandemic has thwarted fighters in the heart of their careers, where the money making ability was there. So there's a lot of pent up hunger from all of that, and as we pointed out in the last few weeks, the fact that Canelo was talking about fighting 4 or 5 times in a little bit more than a year, mm-hmm. that the guys who can make the big bucks, if they can keep grinding away, are seeing the years slip by.
Yeah, the window of opportunity does not stay open long in the world of boxing, and much like the world of professional football. I think football now, is the football 4.5 years or 4 years? Is that what pro football is now?
You mean the average?
Yeah.
I think somewhere around there, but It is a game that takes its toll.
You know, I got a minute and a half to go here. Are you surprised now that when you did that HBO thing on football and head injuries and all that kind of good stuff, that now it's like commonplace? But you sort of broke that back in the day, didn't you?
Yes, I did. And it was around the time, as I'm trying to remember the name of the 49er quarterback.
Steve Young.
And Young was a very bright guy, and he was the one who sort of brought it to the front, as I recall.
Mm-hmm.
I got the information maybe through his agent, you know, that his head was cracking open. And he decided to take the smart route and get out and was able to keep getting up.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I could, you know, football is a dirty secret for a long, long time.
Until you
can crush yourself in football.
How you expose it. The retired HBO Godfather's in the house. I thank you so much. Kiss the Godmama for me, and please stay safe this week.
Have a good weekend, Pedro.
The one, the only, the undisputed heavyweight champion himself, Larry Merchant on Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Check it. 36, almost 37 minutes past the hour. We'll come back with some Amanda Nunes after the break. You're tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide, a.k.a. WBC TV. Check out the WBC's website, WBCboxing.com.
You got to have a mother for me. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Come on. Look here.